Celtics, boys.
You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Kanye West, and the Swami Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
Welcome, welcome to Fatal 4-Way Radio. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister. I'm sitting here with Peacemaker Kevier West and the Swami Christian from Philly. And also joining us tonight is Ricky. Ricky, give it up to the guys tonight. Ricky. And so we are missing Albert Infected tonight. He's got some bad news, and he is on his way home to... he's had a death in his family, unfortunately. One of his cousins passed away from COVID, and so he is on his way home to deal with that, so he will not be joining us tonight. So we would like to take this moment to extend our condolences to Albert Infected and his entire family. So, guys, it's COVID, man. I mean, you know, it's still going around. It's not going to go away anytime soon, I don't imagine. But you're better off if you do get the shot. I don't know which one you guys got. I got the Pfizer. And so now I'm waiting to see if I'm eligible or not for the booster, because that one is apparently, it was the weaker of the shots. And apparently, if you're, you know, in certain age groups and what have you, this, this, and that, according to your job. I don't know how it is, but they're offering boosters. But anyway, I hope everybody's vaccinated, and if you're not, please try and do so immediately before you get sick. I mean, those are the only people, not really the only people, but the majority of people that are in the hospital are not vaccinated. So there you go. Guys, what's going on? Anybody?
Not much. The ratings for Raw are still shit.
I wanted to, you know, I'm glad you brought up the ratings, Christian, from Philly. What about the ratings last week? Did AEW beat Raw again, I'm assuming?
They almost beat Raw, but Raw beat them only a little bit. Shallow, a little bit. Narrowly beat AEW in the demo.
Yeah.
Narrowly.
I'm telling you, man.
That's still not good.
What was the name of that show called? Oh, yeah, it was called Grand Slam. And I suspect they named it Grand Slam because it was from Arthur Ashe Stadium, who, of course, is a famous tennis player from back in the day. Mm-hmm. So they didn't sell out the whole arena, but they sold out the amount of tickets that they had allotted, that they had, you know, scheduled to sell. They sold that out. But there was some sections of the arena that were not sold out. But that is expected, though, especially when you watch wrestling. You have the backstage area. But I digress. Nevertheless, the show was, man, Kevier, did you watch that AEW episode?
Twice.
Man, dude. What were your
times front to back? It's just awesome, dude. It's way better. Like, I mean, we'll get into it as the show goes on. But, I mean, the theme of this show for me is just that, like, you know, I'm kind of alluded to turning my back on WWE. Now it's finally time to let go of the reins, so to speak.
You're doing a heel turn?
Let go of the reins? I mean, if I'm the baby face and I like baby faces, I do like baby faces. And so, I mean, there's people, like there's things that I see in people in WWE that I wish the best for them. But now all my thoughts are like, come to the AEW. Get the hell
right
out of here. This is a good ship. And I know it's going to take forever. You read about how much money they make. WWE's not going away anytime soon. But they're not willing to change right now, and so we shouldn't watch it. Turn the fucking channel.
I'm telling you, man, I didn't make an effort to talk to WWE last night, but I was very, very impressed with the show AEW put on last Wednesday. I was raving about it even all the way up until Friday, and Rampage was outstanding as well. And I like how they do things on there, and we'll get into that. First, let's go ahead and get into the birthdays. Christian, you got your tune ready, bro?
Yep. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. You're all old piece of shit, and we don't very much like you. Happy birthday, you old fox.
Christian from Philly. So let's see here. This week in wrestling birthdays, we are at 9:28. And so today, Steve Blackman has a birthday. And I was checking out his theme music. Man, I was not impressed by his theme music. Everybody else had badass theme music back then. And then there's Steve Blackman's theme music. And it's like, holy shit, what went wrong with his theme music?
Do you have it queued up by chance?
I do not. I can no longer get music like that anymore. I feel like
I used to use his music as my entrance music on video games, but I can't remember exactly how.
It has a kind of like a video game type sound. I'm gonna look for it, but I doubt that I have it.
But
I do not have it. I do have, however, Stevie Richards. Stephen Richards?
Is that the Stevie Richards music?
That's what it says. That's what it says. We don't have Albert here to verify, though.
No, I think that's right. I think I used to use that all the time on video games. But anyways, happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. You were saying, Christian?
No, that he was a jobber. The guy was a jobber.
Well, he had a cheese hat.
He was a loser.
He had a freaking cheese hat.
It seems like I remember them making a big deal when he came, and then it was like underwhelming. But I don't remember too much about him. I remember exactly what he looks like and everything, but I don't remember too much else about him. Jason Jordan, also November 28, 1988, the son of Kirk Angel. Jason Jordan, and it's too bad they had to pull that storyline. I mean, it is what it is.
I'm sure Kurt Angle still wishes him happy birthday, though. He's probably like, happy birthday, son. I bet he texts him on his birthday, so happy birthday, son.
Apparently, he's working in the back as a producer.
He's like, well, you haven't won any gold medals, but it's okay.
Yeah, not with a broken freaking neck. Freaking.
Ginny. I don't know who that is. Ginny, G-I-N-N-Y. 1989, happy birthday to her. Stacy Carter, September 29th, which is tomorrow, 1970. Happy birthday to her. Yoshihiro Tajiri. 1970. I seem to remember that guy. Was he WCW?
I have no idea.
Tajiri?
Oh, Tajiri was the... Are you talking about Tajiri, or are you talking about another Tajiri?
I'm talking about Tajiri Yoshihiro.
Yeah,
the Tajiri?
The Japanese bus song,
right? Tajiri.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
1970. Candice LeRae, 1985, September 29 also. And here's
Jenna Gargano's wife.
Is that right? I had no idea. Is she where's she wrestling?
She's
at
pregnant
right now, do we know?
She's in NXT, right?
She's pregnant. She's about to give birth. So.
Interesting. Here's one that got away from me, guys. Obviously, he's related to the Von Erich. Chris Von Erich, 1969. I don't remember this Von Erich.
What's his name?
Chris. C-H-R-I-S. Chris Von Erich. I don't remember this Von Erich.
He's the youngest brother?
I don't know. Probably not the youngest.
The only one that's still alive?
No, I think that's... I don't know.
Kevin.
I don't know.
That's Kevin Von Erich.
Yeah, Kevin Von Erich's the one. I'll just look.
So happy birthday to Chris Von Erich. He actually got lucky on that, you know. And he's supposed to be having his birthday, obviously.
Do you believe in his brothers, man?
The curse?
Do you believe in, like, that whole, like, were they cursed? Or they just had too much stress on them?
I think it was probably the stress. What do you think, Christian?
I don't know. Did they take drugs?
They did a lot of drugs, too, man. Terry Von Erich has a son, apparently. That's supposed to be wrestling somewhere or something.
Yeah, there's young Von Erichs running around up there. There's a tag team of Von Erichs.
And Kerry was the best-looking one out of them all, right? He was the one that was going to be the one.
He was the one that was WWE.
He was the one that was the chosen one, you know. He was the chosen one of the family. But he didn't make it. He didn't make it, and there was nothing anybody could do about it. Candice LeRae. No, wait, we already said that one. Candice Michelle. Right? You can see why I'm confused. Also September 30th, Candice Michelle, 1978. I seem to remember her. Brunette.
Horrible. She was horrible.
Hot, but that's it. I don't remember. She was during the time of the Divas Championship with the, you know, with them women, that batch of women.
No, it was the women. She was horrible.
They had, back then in those days, they had, of course, the woman from Chicago. What's her name? With the pizzeria.
With the what?
The pizzeria. The chick that owns the pizzeria. She's she was on TNA for a long time, too.
ODB?
No, the one with the spider, man. She had a spider.
Tara,
there you go, Tara. Victoria. Victoria. She was Candice Michelle was during that era.
I don't remember the Divas era except for whenever Paige like took the Divas belts and then after that.
No, Kelly Kelly.
She wanted the chain.
Is it not called the Divas era anymore? They're not called Divas
anymore. No. 7 years ago. 8-12 years ago.
Yeah.
Pardon me for not being within the time.
I know.
I still remember whenever Mark Henry, that old gimmick, was the lady she gave birth to.
He was talking about the hand last week. But were you on the show last week?
I don't remember.
He was.
He was on the show last week.
We had great conversation last week.
I'm teasing him because Ricky's got early onset Alzheimer's. He'll forget like what he just told you.
Who are you again?
That's right.
Exactly. He's the R-Truth, the Fatal 4-Way.
What?
There you go. That's. I think that's a bit of a compliment, man. Trevor Lee. I know this name, but I can't put a face to it, guys.
He's Cameron Grimes in NXT right now.
Black guy?
No, he's not a black guy.
White guy? White
he's
guy?
He's a little redneck, dude. Yeah. He's a little Billy Badass, dude.
Oh, yes. NXT was... Little redneck.
He worked before NXT. Was so good. He's
Hector
so good before
Guerrero. NXT. October 1st, Hector Guerrero. I think he had a stint in AEW. Let's see, 1978. He had a stint in AEW when they had WWE or Impact Wrestling.
TNA.
When all the Guerreros were there.
Well, not all the Guerreros.
Yeah, but, you know, they still had that old guy last time I saw. The old Guerrero. Original Chavo, maybe, or somebody? I don't know.
No, original Chavo was in WWE.
Who was it, bro? It was a Guerrero there, an older cat.
I think it was Hector and then some other guy, but that's about it.
Curtis Axel, October 1st. Of course, he's had many names. Michael McGillicuddy.
Yeah.
He got great kudos from The Rock one time when The Rock was coming back and Curtis Axel provided him, you know, a body to beat up on in training. He got great kudos from The Rock. He got the hand of The Rock.
It's one of those tragic times, man. He could have been the next star.
I'm glad you said it, Christian. I'm glad you said it because I was thinking I was going to say that and that you were going to disagree with me. But no, I feel 100% I agree with you.
I mean, he would have been better than fucking, you know, a lot of these other jobbers that we've had recently. Like, who was that guy, that big guy they had recently, and then he had mental breakdown and they had to do away with him?
Lars Sullivan.
There you go. I mean, he would have been better than Lars Sullivan. He would have been better than a bunch of other guys, you know, that he had the size.
Dude, he was better than fucking Ted DiBiase Jr.
Curtis Axel was better. I mean, Curtis Axel's career, he had some good shit. So, I mean, he did a lot more than a lot of guys have done, but it still doesn't – it's not fair how he was treated. I liked Curtis Axel. Yeah. Curtis Axel was always the shit. And they did treat him real bad at the end.
The problem with Curtis Axel was he was boring.
Remember the
he's boring. Explain yourself.
Well, he would sit on the mic. He would like they would give him time to talk.
He wouldn't promo.
He wouldn't promo very well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Curtis Axel, October 1st. Robbie E. I think that's the guy that came from like some reality show.
No,
he was parodying
a reality show.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
He sucks, too. He's an awful wrestler, too.
The only thing good about that
guy
was
the guy. I remember he had, like, a really tall haircut and stuff. He looked like
he had a cool look, a real douchebag look.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Robbie E.
Happy birthday, Robbie.
Yokozuna, 1966. Now, of course, he's passed away, I think. Yeah. Passed away, right? Yeah.
Yokozuna.
I always thought he was just a fat guy from Mexico.
Oh, dude.
Really? I always thought he was just some fat guy from Mexico.
Pretty sure he was a Samoan guy.
But I never knew that. I always thought he was just a fat Mexican. And Mexico is a Mexican, so I'm not being racist here by any means.
I know. It's just funny. And you're Mexican, so you can say whatever you want. But no, man, I was going to say that, like, watching Yokozuna matches, like, is actually pretty badass because you don't see many big men work like how he did. And he might have been slow and lazy and stuff, but, like, watching Yokozuna matches were always – it was, like, of that era where – Hulkamania and different things like that, not just necessarily match with Hulk, but big, larger than life matches. And like anytime Yokozuna was in the ring, it was the probably closest thing they had to a big attraction like Andre the Giant or something like that. Yoko was a huge draw for the company.
Yeah. Until Hulk Hogan ruined that and put himself over, like always.
Yeah. I got a question. The Yokozuna and Bret Hart feud, and that was like a really badass feud. I got a question for everybody.
Yeah.
Tell me something negative about Ricky Steamboat.
Man, I never liked that guy.
I got one.
Go ahead, Christian.
He was boring.
There you go. Couldn't cut a fucking promo
cookie cutter
to save his life.
He cut some cool promos every once in a while. Ricky, we need to look up some Ricky Steamboat promos and see what he was like on the mic.
He wasn't a bad wrestler. He was good.
He was one of the best wrestlers.
Oh, he was a great wrestler.
I'm not discrediting his wrestling ability. I'm discrediting his character work. His character work sucks.
Yeah, it's like a...
Well, was the same character his whole career.
Simple character.
He was the same character his whole career. I mean, and so was the Nature Boy, but at least he was exciting.
Can we even say the Nature Boy anymore without getting canceled now?
I'm going to say it till the day I die. Woo! But I digress. And he's still in hot water, man. I have not seen on Roku, on the Roku television. You know, we watch different commercials from you guys. And a lot of the commercials were those Ric Flair commercials that he was doing. Right now there's one that they show all the time, man. On every freaking Roku channel, every app, you're going to see Batista on there. He's selling that Hulu, man. He's selling that fucking Hulu. And
he said rock bottom.
Who said rock bottom?
He's hit rock bottom, Batista.
But Batista.
One minute he's in the fucking theaters, and now he's dressing up like an old fucking man in a fucking boat, selling a fucking streaming service.
Hey, bro. That dude is in Guardians of the Galaxy. He is set.
He's not in Guardians of the Galaxy.
I don't think
that
fool
is probably like tens of millions of dollars being in that movie, so he's not rock bottom.
He was in a fucking Bond movie.
No, he's
too.
Not.
Like,
he's not in the Guardians. He's not in the Guardians of the Galaxy.
You talking about a wrestling aspect? He's rock bottom.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about in movies, but he's not in Guardians of the Galaxy no more because he doesn't want to be shirtless no more.
Well, he'll find some shirt. I don't know what it's going
to
be.
He's going to reprise that role. There's no one can take that.
That last action movie that he came out in, I wanted to watch it just to see. I've never seen him in a movie. So I wanted to watch it just to check him out, but I never did get around to it. I do know that, you know, this thing with the Hulu, I mean, or whatever streaming service it is, Paramount, some service. The thing with the service that he's selling, I think that's a great move for him. He keeps himself out there. Mm-hmm. He keeps his name out there. You know, everything is his image is out there. His likeness, everything about him is out there, and it's in your face. I'm telling you, they show that commercial more than anything. The other day, they played that song like 5 times in a row. In a row. But I digress. Happy birthday to Batista.
Honestly, if he doesn't go back to Guardians of the Galaxy, it would break my heart. It would break my heart if he doesn't get back that way. So I hope he doesn't. I don't really care if he comes back to pro wrestling. I just want him to keep.
I have not seen not one of those Guardians of the Galaxies. I just am not into that fantasy shit. I digress. Danny Basham, 1977, October 3rd. John Morrison, 1979, October 3rd. And T.K. O'Ryan, 1989, October 3rd. And let's see here. We will go to the 5th. No, T.K. O'Ryan. Chief J. Strongbow, 1928. He's got to be dead. He's got to be dead by now. Abyss? What happened to Abyss, Christian?
Abyss is working as a backstage producer in WWE right now.
I'll be damned.
He's been on TV, not as Abyss, but he's been on TV on WWE before.
Wow.
He should don Abyss, man.
He should don the Abyss character one last time.
No, he's done. No, he's retired. He's done.
When's his birthday?
1973, October 4th. Bobby Fulton.
Being 62 years old, those things
still doing it. How old is he?
We're bringing that up now?
No. Okay. Just keep going. Just get the birthdays out of here. There's too much shit to talk.
Bobby Fulton, 1960. And Linda McMahon, 1948, October 4th.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. And then here's the last one that we're going to do. Not to honor the request of Kevier. We're going to do them all, but this just happens to be the last one. This just happens to be the last one. But no, coincidentally, I actually wanted to talk about her last when we had that whole section with Staunch TV's own Alex Staunch was here last week. And you can go back and check out that show. It was a great show last week. Great show. But Terry Runnels, happy birthday to her, October 5th, 1966. But she was featured in that... in that little deal that we discussed last week, that documentary or what is that called? That show, Dark Side of the Ring.
Dark Side of the Ring, in that episode,
she was featured heavily in there, as a bit of a a tramp, it seemed. What were your thoughts on that question? She seemed like a bit of a tramp. You know what I mean? Like she was.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What do you mean?
How did she portray herself in that?
Well, what do you expect when she was in part of many storylines involving sleeping around with other wrestlers and a storyline where she was pregnant and they had a fucking, you know, all that fucking storyline? What would you expect?
But it just seems the way she portrayed herself on that, the image that I got from her on that. Let me tell you something, man. I used to be in love with Terry Runnels. And then, so to hear her expose herself on that, the way, I don't know, man. To me, it came off bad, but I digress. And happy birthday to Terry Runnels.
I don't know if I watched the same show, because the only story I remember her telling was about the guy tried to show her, or Brock flashed his dick to her, and then Goldust told her to no-sell it, and she was like, okay, and she no-sold it. And then they, didn't bring it up to anybody, and they, carried this with them or whatever.
And then there was another no-sell incident. And then that they talked about, it seems like I remember two different no-sell incidents, because at the end, even the guy doing the interview was like, you seem to bring up no-sell all the time. I vividly remember him saying that.
I'm just saying, I don't think it's right if on a show we shouldn't victim shame somebody that was coming out about something that where they were harassed, and call them, I don't know. That's a gray area right there. I hate to sound like a woke culture, cancel culture kind of guy right now, but I think Tori was talking about her being harassed in that show. And, I don't think she came across as trampy. I mean, she was definitely...
I got to go back and watch it again. There were several details.
She was portrayed as a sexual
character
on TV, for sure. She was one of the raunchier chick valets that they ever had, women valets or whatever. And she sucked on a cigar all the time, and there was all this other shit.
Oh, man, I remember that.
But in the Dark Side of the Ring episode, I forgot about that last week when we were talking about it, but the shit she was talking about, and then I was thinking about Dustin being in that position and, don't fucking tell anybody. That's like a really fucking awkward situation.
Man, and to think that Dustin Rhodes was going through a little tough time in his life because of her. And then for him to have to hear that story that she told him, it's no wonder that he was all fucked up. But I digress. Happy birthday to Terry Runnels on October 5th.
Happy birthday.
And I got to go back and watch that episode again. In fact, I have to watch them all. And bring back Alex Staunch that we can discuss. Maybe not all of them, but there's going to be a few more on there. And my understanding is that they're already all out. They don't do this shit every week. They just put out the whole fucking season at one time. So my understanding is that they're all available right now. So I got to check into those. So happy birthday to everyone. Christian, you want to sing them out?
What?
You want to sing them out? Yeah, sing them out.
Yeah. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. You old pieces of shit. Go to bed, you fucking scrubs.
Christian from Philly. Happy birthday to you. Got this week in history, and we don't have that much history today, which I'm okay with. We got a pay-per-view to break down. But we do have right here, 23 years ago, Vince McMahon attempts to award the WWF Championship to Undertaker and or Kane when Steve Austin crashed the ceremony in a Zamboni.
Yeah.
He broke through the security. He broke through and he got a few free shots in on McMahon before being hauled off in handcuffs and shit. Austin not only broke through security, he broke a few light fixtures and temporarily locked out audio of the live broadcast. The Zamboni crash is one of the most replayed moments in the show's history. So after McMahon made some disparaging remarks towards The Undertaker and Kane and announcing that the two would face off for the vacated title at Judgment Day, the Brothers of Destruction broke Mr. McMahon's leg. The show's main event saw The Rock, Ken Shamrock, and Mankind defeat Undertaker and Kane in a 3-on-2 handicap. Now, the interesting thing about this is that the night before had been In Your House, breakdown In Your House, and I remember watching this. The bullshit where fucking Kane and Undertaker both, they couldn't pin each other, but yet it was a triple threat match. And they both ended up pinning fucking Austin at the same time. Christian?
Yeah. Yeah, they both pinned Austin. And the belt was vacated, yes. So this is what's the story, right? This was leading towards a match where Austin was the... Here's the thing, right? After this segment, this was the build-up to the match where Austin was the special guest referee. And if Austin did not count who wins in that match, he would have gotten fired. So that's the build-up for this match.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
But in the end, he counted them both out. So both of them didn't win. And Austin got fired anyway.
My God. Kevin, do you remember watching this? Ricky? How about you?
No. I remember the era, but I don't remember this exact situation. I guess I've seen, like, replays and stuff of it. But it made me think of the time. Like, it's not the same time when Mankind won. It's not whenever they spoiled it. Was that whenever they spoiled it on Nitro or whatever, and they said don't watch Raw because Mankind will win or whatever?
This was the era. This was the same era.
But it wasn't that same time. Like, there wasn't.
Not yet. This was the beginning of the Ministry Taker era.
Yeah. Corporate ministry kind of stuff. Yeah. No, I just remember that I liked all that stuff, but I was probably honestly playing the video games more than I was watching the show during these days.
Yeah, I was all about it. I really enjoyed that, all that shit. It was so much different than it is now. And, you know, now I'm watching AEW, so, I mean, I'm happy. I mean, at least I've got something. Holy shit. I mean, these are good times for me right now. That fucking show last week was bad. We're going to talk about it. 21 years ago at a SmackDown taping, though, in Richmond, Virginia,
uh-huh.
British Bulldog and Triple H fought to a no contest in a WWF Championship match. The Rock was a special referee. And it features perhaps the best people's elbow ever, is what they're saying. And I have a clip, but unfortunately I can't show a clip. It is a good people's elbow. And that's that. The Rock, special referee against the British Bulldog and Triple H. Christian, do you remember that?
Yeah, this was the British Bulldog's first and probably only time he would touch World Championship gold. This was the time where they wasted bringing the British Bulldog back because he was a nobody at this point, you know? Like, this era was not his era, okay? I don't understand why you would bring the British Bulldog back. I think the only reason why they brought the British Bulldog back was to take a blow to Bret Hart, that's why. I think that was the only reason why they hired him back, so it was a personal blow to Bret Hart. That's the only reason I would think.
Like, yeah. Bury him in front of Brett.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I mean, for fuck's sake.
That's business,
you booked
boys. That's just business.
I know. It's not. At that point, it wasn't business. All right? That was personal. First of all, you're booking this man to wear fucking jeans, all right? That's the most jobber shit any wrestler could wear. Fucking jeans. That is the most jobberish, generic attire anybody could wear. So that's a blow right there, right? This was personal.
Nevertheless, that happened.
Yeah.
I never liked the British Bulldog. I'm not a Chris
player.
I like Bret Hart. I like Owen, but I never liked the British Bulldog. I don't give a shit about him.
I never cared for the British Bulldog either. 2021. No, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. No, wait. I'm on a different article. Back in 2015, guys, WWE announced that it had suspended Dylan Pulser, Hornswoggle, for 30 days for violating the company's wellness policy. He hadn't been seen on WWE television since March due to an injury and wouldn't be seen again before his official release the following May, no less, having been with the company exactly 10 years to the day when he got released. Wow. I haven't seen you on TV for a long time, but you know what? Fuck you. Go away. Oh, my God.
10 years wasted. First of all, this motherfucker disgraced the cruiserweight, all right? Why the fuck? That is so disrespectful to every cruiserweight, like Rey Mysterio, Chavo Guerrero, fucking Billy Kidman, Eddie Guerrero. Having this motherfucker win the cruiserweight title, that was the most disrespectful shit ever. Not to mention, right, that they book him in an angle where he's fucking Vince McMahon's illegitimate son. That's been going on for fucking months. All right? This guy sucks. I hated Hornswoggle. I never thought he was funny. Fuck him. All right? Fuck him, fuck him, fuck him, fuck him. He doesn't belong in the business. All right?
Yeah, he's a shithead. I've watched like shoot interviews with Hornswoggle, and he seems like a super, super shithead about the stuff. I was like, he I don't know, he's got a bad attitude about things from what I've seen in interviews with him. But I know that the Vince McMahon thing was all based around like that Mr. Anderson was supposed to be his son, Mr. Kennedy. And then that fell through, so they had to, like, rewrite everything, and they made it to where Hornswoggle was the son instead or whatever. That's just poor writing. It was a stupid gimmick. And it makes me, like, mad because I wanted to see Mr. Anderson be better in WWE, too. But I think Mr. Kennedy was actually a pretty badass wrestler, even though he was sloppy.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. If they even did the Mr. Kennedy, right, as the illegitimate Jimmy's son, he would have just gotten buried by Triple H anyway.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
No, that was the story. Him
yeah,
versus Triple H, who's a true, yeah.
But he still would have been his son after that. He still would have been in the company, and he could have, like, done something more with that.
Yeah. At least he could say one thing in his WWE career. At least he was Mr. Money in the Bank for only a week. For only one week.
Oh, shit.
Until the next night, Edge beat him for that briefcase. So at least he had something in his career.
There you go. So, yeah, Hornswoggle. Horny, as they call him. Let's go ahead and take a break now, guys. Adjusted here and shit. But we still got a lot to talk about. We got the WWE draft. Bryan Danielson and AEW champion Kenny Omega had a great match last week. I want to touch on that on AEW Weekly. And we've got a quiz. Although Albert's not here, so we'll discuss that, whether we're going to proceed with the quiz or we're going to wait on it. We'll see. A lot of people put some hard work behind the scenes into this quiz to make it happen. So we'll see. We're going to discuss that when we come back right here on Fatal 4 Way Radio. Stay right where you're at.
From the Friendly Fire Cigar Studio in Houston, Texas, you're listening to Fatal 4 Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more.
You had to answer, what's Dan Severin up to these days?
Last I heard, he was just walking around with a wet gray t-shirt around town.
Yeah.
going from city to city with that music playing in the background.
Wrist tape stuff.
Dun, dun, dun,
he's
dun,
like,
dun,
hey, y'all sell wrist tape? Do you like walk into a Walgreens and sell wrist tape? They're like, no, sir, sorry.
Dun,
like a buff fucking Freddie Mercury, I guess. He is the buff Mercury. Dan Severin's probably one of our favorite
wrestlers. We have
that's
a song here.
Friendly Fire Cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, VAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HDTVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford, Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there.
Imagine being Dan Severin's kids and you touch the thermostat and the AC thermostat and this song starts fucking playing and you see this guy like walking down the hall with a fucking gray t-shirt smoking sweat.
Oh, God.
I think when he gets mad, like the hairs in his mustache like stand up, like they get like, because they perk up, like they turn extra black and everything.
I wouldn't fuck with that dude.
There's a few wrestlers. There's like 10 shooters that I could think of, but that's one that I would not fuck with.
I was like one of these fucking dudes that like you walk up to him, he stops him, and he'll punch you with his mustache. He doesn't have to lift his arms. His mustache is like fucking Popeye.
Dusty Rhodes, baby, the American Dream. There's a lot of people that don't like me. There's a lot of people, Christian, and out there in Philadelphia don't like Dusty Rhodes very much. They said his belly is too big, baby. Maybe his hand is too big. But Christian from Philly, I'm coming to Philadelphia, baby. Dusty Rhodes, I'm coming to Philadelphia.
Dusty Rhodes, only a Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Welcome back to Fatal 4-Way Radio. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, sitting here with Peacemaker Kevier West, the Swami, Christian from Philly, and Ricky. How are you doing, Ricky? Still with us, my friend?
Well, my Astros are losing.
Oh, and, they are, man, but, you know, we'll be okay. Telling
other
you.
Other than that, I watched the AEW, like I watched me and Kevin... We skipped the pay-per-view on Sunday to watch AEW's pay-per-view because I didn't watch it.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was their normal TV show that they brought, like, pay-per-view caliber to a normal TV show. It was probably one of the best matches I've seen in forever.
Yeah.
Oh. He's in a draw. That's the interesting part.
Wow. You guys skipped the pay-per-view and watched AEW. Man, that's badass. I'm telling you, that's shit. That deserves a fucking round of applause. I mean, can we cue that shit? For real. Holy shit. You guys skip the madness. You skip dinner and went straight to dessert.
You did not
holy
miss much.
Holy shit. Well, I'll tell you what, man. Let's not wait any longer to get to this shit.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and get to our AEW report. If I can just cue this shit up somehow. Here we go. There it is. Where is it?
And now, resident watchdog Christian from Philly with AEW Weekly.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the AEW report, where I report anything AEW for AEW. The first thing on the list tonight is the best wrestling match we've seen in years. Five stars. Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega. My God, if you thought you saw anything in pro wrestling, you did not see this match. This match was great. This match puts WWE to shame.
Oh, man.
Fuck Roman Reigns. They can out-wrestle Roman Reigns any day. This proves that Roman Reigns is a clown compared to these two. Because WWE held Daniel Bryan back, he couldn't use his ultimate limit. But now he's in AEW, he can use his limit. And you saw what he could do now. This match was great. This match is everything. There was a time limit draw, but that's good because that way both men don't have to lose, and they both look good. And you know what that means, don't you, gentlemen? We're going to get a rematch down the line. And I suggest they do it. I suggest they do it in an Iron Man match.
Wow. Man, I hadn't even thought like that yet. Guys, I'm telling you, man, I was watching this match, and, you know, I've never really been a fan of Kenny Omega. This match he had with Bryan Danielson, was fantastic. I mean, man, I never thought I would see such a great, and then next thing you know, it flew by. It was a great match that it just fucking flew by. Then I was like, shit, man, they're going to run out of time. When I realized they were going to run out of time, my initial thought was like, man, what the fuck's happening here? Why are they going to run out of time? Then I was like, no, wait a minute. Take a step back. Think outside the fucking box. They're going to run out of time. They're just on TV. There's no need to fucking give us everything they have and shit on TV, fucking break a fucking neck and shit the way they try to do on WWE. And then, on top of that, give us the same fucking match week after week after week after week and shit. This is the one time they went to their time limit. I understood the creativity of it. They went to their time limit. Now they're going to put it on to another, maybe have a couple badass promos, put it off to another pay-per-view, or maybe not even a pay-per-view, maybe a Rampage a week or two down the line, you know,
buddy,
have another match.
Buddy, it was like old school storytelling, like 80s style or 70s style. It was like old school storytelling.
Yes.
And it was amazing. It really was.
And really, Chuck, like, I think they did throw the kitchen sink at it, bro. Like, I think that it was like, I mean, they did those two, whether the dragon suplex or whatever off of the top rope, where the first spot they, like, were going to do it, and then it didn't work. And then the second time they did it, and it was perfect. I mean, there was a bunch of shit, like the buckle ball.
Oh, yeah.
That he threw it
on there. They had some spots, yes.
I mean, there was a lot of fucking ass whooping going on in that match, But the following match is going to be even better. This is a hint at what Bryan could do. I told Christian when we talked earlier this week that I was way more excited for Bryan than CM Punk, for instance. You know, I've seen CM Punk too, and he's great. But Bryan's killing it right now. He's the best wrestler in the world. He always has been. Crazy.
He just got him.
I'm telling you, man, Bree Danielson, I saw something that I never thought I would. That was a hell of a match. And yes, the heel in me is calling him Bree Danielson. So,
Yeah. It's fun.
That's just the way it is, guys. That's just the way it is. But, yeah, man, I was so impressed with that match. And then not only that, here's another thing. I love how they do things. You know what? It's the biggest match on the card. Fuck it. Let's open up the night with it. Everybody already knows it's going to happen. Let's just fucking open up the whole fucking night with it. And, I mean, shit, man. When you start off big like that, I mean, it's just killer. The thing about it also is that, shit, man, the card just kept on going. Like, it was the whole fucking show was good. Even though it seems like they go in reverse order. It seems like they go in reverse order to me. It seems like they go in reverse order all the way from, like, the biggest match on the card is the first match to the lowest match is the last. But and the way they do it, I don't mind. It's totally different. It's something out of the box. And I'm really enjoying AEW right now. Anybody?
Yeah. It's almost like it's not desperate. Like having a world title match at the start of the show and then doing something stupid.
Yeah.
Not desperate. Unlike certain other shows.
Are they looking not desperate, as Christian says? By doing this, giving the people what they want?
No, I mean it's something that WWE used to do. They give you a good opening match and then they give you a main event later. I think that the whole show, like, it ramped up, dude, because I saw a clip. The first thing I saw was a clip of the match with Kenny and Bryan, and I was like, holy shit, this is the best match I've ever seen. I have to watch this. So then when I went to watch it, I clicked on the wrong link, and I watched, like, the second half of the show first. And so I picked up after a commercial break, and so I started in the middle. The first time I watched it, I started in the middle. And I watched, like, the last three matches, and then I went back and watched the first three matches. And that was pretty badass, actually. Watching it like that made sense, too. But then when we watched it again the other night, I watched it straight through. And it's crazy that it was the first match because, Jesus, it was the best match in forever. That's all I could say is that it's and, you know, Cornette hates Kenny Omega so much, and he's, like, critiqued him his whole career. And Cornette had good things to say about the match, and even though he didn't, like, address Kenny, he did put Kenny over, and that means something to people that, like, hold his word to some regard, because Cornette is a fucking kook, but the guy knows
he doesn't like it. I'm sorry to interrupt, sorry. He doesn't like AEW, period.
He sounds like he likes AEW. Everything I've listened to him, I've listened to him more than anybody, and that guy is, like, really hot on AEW.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
They're turning people, even if it's him, and he might just be a hack and, like, a shill, like, trying to cash in on the popularity or whatever. So take that with a grain of salt. But I'm just saying, that match had people talking. It had Cornette saying that Kenny Omega was good when all he said for the last 10 years is Kenny Omega sucks ass.
I've never really cared for Kenny Omega, and then here I am. Like, I mean, he had a damn good match. I've always thought he's just so, you know, everything is like, the way he does shit is just so, like, I mean, it's just so intentional, and it's gonna happen the way he's doing it. Like, it's so perfect.
I've heard other people say this, is that Kenny's style was something that he came up with, and it's like he's more self-trained than other wrestlers. Like, there's guys like Finn Balor and a couple of other guys who kind of came up, maybe not as backyard wrestlers, but they just, like, trained in lower-level schools. So even though Kenny Omega and Finn Balor are some of the best wrestlers in the world now, they, like, get looked down on because of, like, some of the habits they learned and the way that they do their shit isn't traditional, and that's why people don't like them. That's why Kenny turns off wrestling fans because he's so different or whatever. Because he just did whatever he thought was cute.
Let me ask you guys this. When, as far as Kenny Omega goes, like, When was the first time you started watching him and his matches?
I watched 2012, somewhere around there, maybe 2013.
You followed him during the whole Japan deal and all that?
You would just see him on YouTube. You would see, like, clips of his matches, and it was, like, a bunch of gimmick matches and funny matches.
Yeah.
And then when New Japan got really popular in, like, 2015, 2016, then he was on top of the world, I think, around that time.
This is a new era where... Go ahead, Christian.
I never watched his matches. The one time I got introduced to him was when they were doing their BTE in the YouTube channel. So that's the only way I got introduced to him. I never watched his matches.
Yeah. I've seen several of his matches from back in the day and stuff, and I never, like, the shit he did with Brian the other night, it was just so exciting because it was different. Like, I had never really seen Brian go the way he did, and so I guess that had a lot to do with it. And apparently Kenny is this fucking guru also. And they've just really gelled together. And yeah, man, frankly, I mean, Bryan Danielson right now has taken complete control over the AEW fan base, I guess. CM Punk, don't get me wrong, he has a shitload of fans and a shitload of following. Yes, he does. And I'm a follower of him, too. I click on all the articles and shit. I like the guy. Even though I didn't like that the way he left and shit with WWE and stuff. You know, it is what it is. It's behind. And, you know, he's done. Everybody's moved on, so fuck it. You know. But,
I don't think he's moved on. I really don't think he's moved on. He's still taking shots at the company. I don't think he's moved on.
Well, of course he hasn't. And, you know, that's what leads me to believe that he's going to end up, you know, this honeymoon between him and AEW will be, you know, over sooner rather than later. Because, you know, some people are just that way. And that's just the way it is. You know, you can't deal with it until it's time to deal with it. And it's often not good. But, you know, man, I'm telling you, man, this fucking match had me like fucking gone. And then the whole Thunder Rosa, too. What a great fucking promo she did with who is she? Britt Baker and the other lady? Or wait a minute, can we talk about my man crush for Nyla Rose for a minute here?
Are you talking about the pay per view?
I mean, I'm talking about their feud that they have going on. They were cutting promos on each other, and then some other shit went on AEW.
That was Ruby Soho.
Ruby Soho, yeah, okay, so it was Ruby Soho.
You say Nyla, right? Baker. You got
the movie? Yeah, man crush for Nyla, my man crush for Nyla Rose.
You know she's a man, you know, what is a man crush, because she's a man, you know that, right?
Yeah, I was just being, you know, there was an attempt to be funny, but I digress. So.
I love it.
But anyway, yeah, Ruby Soho. Man, you know, it seemed like the stage was a little big for her. It seemed like the stage was a little big for her, guys. But shit, man, I think, you know, sometimes you just got to put people in there, sink or swim, and let them be themselves. And I think she's going to be just fine. I think she's going to be just fine. But this Thunder Rosa, man, I never, you know, we've had discussions about, on the show, and I've just always held back because I don't really know her, but I'm getting to know her. Man, she's impressed me. She really impressed me. And but Christian, I've heard you downplay her before. Have your thoughts changed on her at all?
I don't think I downplayed her. Did I downplay her?
Yeah, did back I, in the day, you said some things, you know. This was a way back though. This was a way while back.
Yeah. And, well, I think she's okay, but I think she needs character work too, you know? She has no character.
Who do you see? I see Britt Baker dropping the title soon to someone. Do you think it has to be Ruby Soho, or do you think that Thunder Rosa will get her shot?
I think it will be somebody...
No,
who is
I think Britt Baker's going to fucking win. I don't think Britt Baker's going to lose shit. I think she's badass, and I think she's going to keep cleaning house.
Damn.
That could be, but, you know, in case he does lose it.
Her promos are really good. Oh, shit. And then, guys, how about Rampage? Did you guys get a... Rampage was fucking equally bad. I mean, you know, it was badass on a good level, I should say. But still, badass nonetheless. I mean, you know, I don't know, man. I did not watch SmackDown this week. I went out Friday night. Me and the missus went out to a concert. But Saturday, we watched it. Not SmackDown, because I'm not able to record it. So we did not watch SmackDown Saturday, but we did watch Rampage. And damn, I got to tell you, man. I got to tell you, from what I've seen from SmackDown, which was the better show, this Rampage fucking was kick-ass. It started off with a badass match. What was it, Christian?
What was the better show? I'm sorry, what?
Rampage was, you know, has become the better show over SmackDown.
Oh, thank God. I thought you said SmackDown was the better show because...
No. Hey, SmackDown used to be the better show between Raw and SmackDown, you know what I mean? But I don't know anymore. They're both equally bad now, it seems.
You know what I have to say? Thank God CM Punk went back to his short trunks, you know? Thank God he didn't do those long pants anymore. Those long pants were awful.
Thank God you brought up his trunks, because I have something to say about his trunks. First of all, the long pants that he was wearing, it seems like we've seen those long pants before, because he first started out in WWE, he was wearing long pants. It wasn't until he started getting his main event roster push that, you know, Vince is fond of men in tiny micro bikini shorts, okay? We all know this. And so, you know, I don't know. You know, I'm speculating that, you know, maybe it was, you know, brought up to him that, you know, he would be favored more if he switched his ring gear. And then we started seeing him in these little micro bikinis and shit up there. But, guys, it's the same fucking one he was wearing in WWE. Come on, man. Get the fuck out of here. Really?
But that's his trademark gear.
Oh, man. That's him being a fucking cheap ass, man. Come on. Get some new
fucking
gear.
This is trademark
gear,
man.
Bro.
It's his classic gear, man. They tried with the long pants at the pay-per-view. It didn't work. Nobody liked it, so he went back to his traditional gear, dude.
He posted about it. He said he made a post about it, and he was like, whenever people mentioned the long pants, and he's like, it was like a meme of like Goofy, and it was like, I'll do it again. It was like Goofy Dog, and he was saying, I'll do it again. But he's like basically saying, if we keep talking shit about the pants, then he'll probably keep wearing them.
Oh shit!
Because he looked like Sami Zayn. That's why those pants are only good for like Sami Zayn.
Seth Rollins wears pants.
Yeah, but that's his style. That's not CM Punk style, you know.
He wore a badass suit the other couple of weeks ago. It looked like foil. I love that suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like foil. But I digress.
Oh, yeah.
What else in the report, brother?
Well, let's see. What else in the report? One of the guys from fucking Dan Lambert's group knocked the shit out of Chris Jericho. I don't remember which one that in the fucking Rampage episode. That guy that did that fucking knee on his head.
Somebody hit him pretty stiff.
He almost fucking ripped it, punched his head off. Like it was a fucking football. I mean, geez, oh my God, man. Do you know how old this man is? You trying to retire his ass? You gotta be careful with that, man.
Right.
And that's Holy one of the reasons why I asked you to put together a quiz for us, an AEW quiz. Well, it wasn't much of a surprise when I, you know, told everybody.
No, my questions are the surprise.
Oh, yeah. And it'll definitely be a surprise to me because I really don't know too many. You know, the factions and shit. But so are we going to do this quiz with Albert?
Yes.
In Albert's absence, or should we put
yes,
it off?
We are.
What do you guys think?
Yes.
We'll do it?
No, I got the quiz ready. We'll do it now.
Do it now? All right.
Yeah, let's
well,
do it now. We're
do it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, freaks and geeks, Fatal 4-Way Radio presents Quiz Time with your host, the Villanelli with the chili on the willy, Christian from All right.
Welcome,
sorry about that, guys.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to my victims in the contestant poll. My name is Christian from Philly, and I am your host for the AEW Quiz Show. Yay!
All right.
All right. Now, gentlemen. Minister of Sinister, Ricky, and Kevier West, you guys will answer a set of questions.
Ricky did sneak away. Ricky's drifted off into the shadows during the break earlier.
All right, he's disqualified. So we have two contestants left. Hooray! All right,
right.
Minister, Kevier, I will ask you several questions.
Oh
and you
gosh.
Will have 10 seconds to you have 10 seconds to think these questions over, and I will ask each of you one by one the answer to the question. All right. These are different questions. All right. The first question: what pay per view was the first AEW World Championship crowned between Chris Jericho and Adam Page? Remember, 10 seconds, gentlemen. Think this through for 10 seconds. Ed,
10 seconds. All right.
9. 8. 7. 6. 5. 4. 3. 2. 1. All right. Minister of Sinister, what is your answer?
Was it called AEW All Elite?
Wrong.
Boo.
Kevin, what is your answer?
AEW Double or Nothing.
Correct.
Oh, Kevin. Looks like we're going to winner.
that's the first point.
Yeah, we're done. Yeah, it would have been different. I could have said, you know, well, we might not have a winner here if he would have got that one wrong. But no, we're definitely gonna have a winner.
Cool. This one's a tougher one. Is the second question, gentlemen.
Oh,
who was the first TNT champion?
I'm going.
In history.
The first TNT champion?
Yes.
I'm ready to answer. I will say it's Miro.
No.
Ooh.
All right. Javier, what's your answer?
Darby Allin.
And you're both wrong.
No.
It was Cody Rhodes.
Cody?
No, you're right. I should have known that. I don't know why I thought Darby. You're right.
Damn, I know. I should have known it, too.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't it be him?
All right. Next question. How many AEW World Champions do we have so far in the company?
The guys that have been World Champions?
Yes.
And so that includes both Miro's title? Or no. So that includes just
the
title that...
No, the main champion.
Okay, yeah.
The main champion.
I am going to say 2.
Wrong. Kevin.
Three.
Kevin, what's it? Correct. The champions are Chris Jericho, John Moxley, and Kenny Omega.
I was thinking just Chris Jericho and John Moxley.
Next question.
I mean, and Kenny Omega. Yeah.
Next question. Who was the first ever women's AEW women's champion?
Oh my God. I will say the first AEW women's champion was Britt Baker. Yes. I'm right.
Wrong. What about you? What about you, Cavier? This might be a tough question for you.
I'm trying to think. It wasn't Britt. It was first AEW Women's Champion. She won it from her in a match. Was it Io Shirai?
Io Shirai's from NXT.
Who's the girl I'm thinking about? The Hiroshi girl? I don't know. Just count me as wrong.
It was Rio.
Rio.
I couldn't think of her name.
So far you guys are doing terrible. Cave only has two. What two factions participated in the first ever Blood and Guts match?
Oh my God, stop it. I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say that we're both going to get this one wrong. First of all,
I'm trying to remember what these matches were. It was
I don't even fucking name two factions. Let me think.
It was Chris Jericho's group. It was the I can't think of what the fuck they're called.
The Elite. I'm gonna say the Elite is one
Chris
of them.
Jericho and Sammy Guevara and those guys.
Yeah, they're called. What are they called?
The Inner Circle. The Inner Circle.
Inner Circle versus the Inner Circle versus
the Elite. It's gotta be.
Well,
I think
is that both your answers?
No, wait. Kevin's got to answer.
I think it was Inner Circle versus the Elite.
Well, you're both wrong. It was the Inner Circle versus the Pinnacle, MGF group.
Hey. I came really close to saying Team Taz, dude. I came really close to being like, it was probably Team Taz.
Oh, shit. I'm not going to get any right.
All right. This is the last question of the AEW quiz, and this is the hardest question of them all. Legitimately, not kayfabe, this is legitimate, who in real life was the first employee signed to AEW when AEW was officially starting? Who was the first employee that was signed?
I'm going to say the Jacksons.
Tony Khan. What about you, Bob?
I don't know. I would think they might do Tony Khan, but maybe it was Cody. I guess Cody Rhodes is all elite. It was probably Cody.
All right. Well, you're both wrong. It was Chris Jericho.
Oh my God.
Chris Jericho.
Wow, no shit?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
We need to brush up on our knowledge, dude. I think I won, though.
Yeah, you won. You won by 2 points. Don't be proud of yourself. You won by only 2.
Oh, stop it.
Would you please shut the hell up?
Oh, hell. Man, what is great. What is this great?
Here.
Well, that's well, shit, man. There's nothing else after that except for the WWE report.
Yeah, the WWE report. The WWE report slash.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami Christian from Philly with this week's WWE report. Swami. Yeah. Woo.
All right. We're going to go by Raw this week and then the Extreme Rules pay-per-view, which we have predictions for that too, by the way. The Extreme Rules pay-per-view predictions.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're going to do that. So, this week, can last match
yes.
Raw, you know, they said this was a good episode of Raw. Bullshit. It was not good. Bullshit. First off, right?
Bullshit.
It was Big E versus Bobby Lashley for the world title that starts off the show, right? It was a good match. Don't get me wrong. It was a good match. But then two jobbers appeared wearing the Hurt Business t-shirt. That's right. Cedric and Shelton. For no reason whatsoever, not even explaining why they're siding with Bobby Lashley again. The Hurt Business is back, ladies and gentlemen. How the fuck is that?
I hate them.
There's no reason to get excited about this. The crowd didn't even give a fuck. The crowd didn't even give a fuck about it. The crowd
wow.
didn't
the two
even
crowd.
Give a fuck.
Look at AEW this past week and their crowd versus WWE's crowd. It's trash.
Yeah, bro. I know, dude. You know, they're coming in October. There ain't no way in hell. There's no fucking way in hell. I'm fucking regretting, and I have very few regrets in life, and I'm fucking regretting not going to AEW for that month. I missed fucking badass entrance that Jericho did. He played no music, and the fans fucking sang to him. Dude, that's fucking badass shit, and I fucking missed it. I could have been there. I should have been there. Fuck. Fuck!
So, yeah.
If I would have had my fucking head up my ass, I would have fucking been there. My head was still in my ass at that point, guys. My head has fucking come out of my ass. And I am on board with fucking AEW. Fuck WWE. Do you understand what I'm saying? Damn!
So, yeah, Bobby Lashley, Spears MVP, right? And then the New Day show up. They fight the Hurt Business 2.0.
Wait a minute.
The Hurt Business.
What about MVP?
No, I'm saying the Hurt Business. I'm talking about Bobby
yeah.
Lashley and Big E. I'm sorry. I forgot about MVP. I'm sorry
oh, yeah.
that he's still out.
He's gone, right? They wrote him off. He's gone. And all of a sudden, the goons come back for some odd reason.
Yeah, the goons
that's where
come
we're
back.
At. That's where we're at, right?
Makes no sense.
Unexplained or nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we got AEW on the other channel, and they expect me to fucking watch this shit? No, I don't think
so. Yeah. So, Bobby Lashley hits the spear, and then the fucking New Day come out. They fight the Hurt Business, and then it's a DQ. It's a fucking DQ because I don't know why, but it's a DQ. And so Adam Pearce comes out, and they're going to do this match again. In a steel cage. So, yeah, waste of time, waste of open show. So we go on, right? We go on with jobber matches like Eric versus Angel Garza, who cares? And then we had the debut of Keith Bearcat Lee. That's right. Keith Lee has a new name. He's called the fucking Bearcat. And he looks stupid. His new gear looks stupid. And the crowd didn't really give a fuck about Keith Lee either. So, yeah, sucks to be him. Sucks to be anybody. Keith Lee's turning heel, but who really gives a fuck anyway, really? Who really cares at this point about
they're
Keith
Lee?
They're
ruining everyone. Everyone's ruined. We'll go down the list. You're about to. I mean, listen to the things they're doing
ruined.
To their roster.
I mean, you know, the reports, Christian said it here a long time ago, a month ago, I guess. You know, they were going to change Apple's gimmick. We're starting to find out, you know, they were going to make him cut his hair. They wanted him to cut his hair first. He was like, no, I'm not cutting my hair. So, you know, they didn't pursue it anymore. But they wanted him to be, you know, something himself instead of, you know, the Adam Cole that he is. I mean, get the fuck out of here. They're doing that to everybody. Everybody associated with fucking... And they're doing it. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah.
So up next, we had another repeat match between Damian Priest and Sheamus for the U.S. title in a no-holds-barred match. I don't give a fuck if these are good. I don't want to see these matches again. Like, what the fuck? Why does Sheamus deserve another shot at the U.S. title? He's lost two times now, and this is his third time now. I don't want to see it again. I'm tired of it. You know what else I'm tired of seeing? Fucking Matt Riddle versus AJ Styles, all right? It was good for a while, but I'm sick of seeing this match over and over and over, and I'm sick of seeing Matt Riddle lose over and over and over. I don't know what Randy Orton disappeared again.
Bro.
He disappeared again. I wonder how many weeks it will take for him to return.
Bro.
You know?
Makes
what the fuck?
Yeah. Where's Randy Orton? Is he hitting the pipe, or what the fuck is going on with this guy?
I don't fucking know. This is the third time he's done the disappearing act. I don't know. I don't fucking know. But I'll tell you this. Alexa Bliss is going to be gone for a few months.
Yes.
I don't know why. She asked for time off.
See, her contract is coming up, and she wants to be, you know, asks for time off, and then she comes back and goes away. Who the hell knows? Contracts are coming up, and who the hell wants to be there? There's so much fucking uncertainty.
Yeah.
I don't blame these guys and women for wanting to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah. So it was a Charlotte Flair open challenge for the women's WWE Championship, and who would answer the call but Doudrop for whatever reason, and Doudrop lost. Like a schmuck, because Eva Marie distracted her. And this was the worst match ever. Charlotte Flair has been getting worse matches a lot. Her matches have been shit. So, yeah, Doudrop lost. And then after the match, Eva Marie got taken out, thank God, by Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler, 2 weeks in a row, took out the worst wrestlers in Raw. So, thank you, Shayna. Thank you for taking out the trash. Thank you. We have the official tag team name of Rhea Ripley and Nikki Ash. They're called Super Brutality.
I've been waiting for this. Yes. What is it?
Super Brutality.
Oh, stop it.
That's their new name.
Yeah. Trash.
Eh? Fucking shit.
Oh, please. Will you stop?
But
they
then we
Rhea.
Had the most cringy.
Rhea got like a dumb haircut, and then they're both stupid together. It's the same story as RK-Bro. It's just stupid. It's stupid. I hate it. I hate it. I hate them. Exactly.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? She got a new haircut, too?
Well, it's just her haircut's trash.
Yeah.
Like, they're changing things that don't need to be changed, dude. They're shaking things up. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
You know
what
they do? Look at man. Like, my boy Sheamus cut a promo. Sheamus was in this match, and I know you haven't got there yet. Sheamus is one of the best wrestlers ever. Sheamus is one of the best wrestlers. Maybe not ever.
Love that
the whole
guy.
Time. Sheamus is a workhorse, dude. One of the
love
best wrestlers of the
years. Get so
look
misused. They've been doing that to him even when he was champion.
He's got this storyline where his nose keeps getting broken, and he's, like, held down. Like, the storyline is actually making me feel bad for Sheamus, because even though he is a prick, like, he's getting shit on nonstop. And, you know, I don't know. We'll keep going. But, I mean, they did him. Corbin's so stupid now, too. And Corbin was their homegrown dude who they were going to make into $1 million. And look at what they've done. Up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
Right when they start to do something right
Corbin.
With them, they take it away.
Happy Corbin is so shit. It's not even funny. It's not even entertaining.
is so garbage. He's still a heel. I don't know what the fuck was the point of making him for.
At this point, I think it's a – I was telling my wife before we did the show tonight, this is honestly how I feel. I was like, wrestling isn't stupid. WWE is the stupidest show on TV. And then I was like, isn't it funny that I do a podcast?
I hate them.
Yeah. I told her, isn't it funny that every week I do a podcast about the stupidest show on TV? I like, that's really what it is. This show is so fucking stupid, dude.
Up next, we get more cringe. We get Goldberg.
Dog, wait a minute, Christian, please. It's fucking dog shit. We were watching the pay-per-view, me and the fabulous Kitty Teixeira, and I was like, up next, folks, more dog shit. Because that's what Christian said. And sure enough, we get more dog shit. And we're going to get to the reviews here, but I just had to say that before I forgot. That's what it is. It's fucking dog shit. Christian?
Up next, you get more dog shit with Goldberg cutting a promo. Who better to resemble dog shit than Goldberg? Because Goldberg cuts a promo saying he's going to destroy Bobby Lashley. Now, I forgot, I wasn't even paying attention to Goldberg's promo because I was paying attention more to that creepy photo that he has in the background of his arm holding a baby. You saw that picture?
It's on Raw?
Yeah, Raw.
No, I didn't watch it. I did not watch this. I got to check this out.
There was a segment where he was talking at home or somewhere else, and there was a picture, a photograph, of his arm holding a baby that was sleeping, but the baby was creepy. He had long legs, long arms and long legs and shit. It was fucking creepy.
Oh, my gosh.
It was fucking creepy. In fact, hold on. I'm going to share this photo. I'm going to share this photo right now to right now, and I'm going to share it to him right now. And this was the picture that was on when he was doing this promo, and it was fucking creepy, and I was more attending to it than the fucking promo itself. Here we go. Here's the picture.
All right. Instantaneously. Nice. Damn, what the fuck? Wow.
Isn't that fucking creepy?
Were you sharing it to?
I'll share it to you too. Hold on.
It looks like the body of a lion or a big cat with the face of a baby.
Oh my god.
It's fucking creepy.
What the fuck is this shit? I just blew it
it's
up
fucking
in the animal's body, bro.
Here you go, Kevin. Here you go, Kevin. I sent you the picture, too. It's fucking creepy. It's fucking
creepy. It's not like a...
What the
it's not like
fuck?
It's like a disability or something, right? What we got?
No.
Okay, it's just a long baby. That's a long baby.
What?
That's his kid, Gage. Gage is like a foot taller than him. What are you talking about?
No, normal person will hold a baby like that.
That's how Goldberg holds a baby. Probably speared
that
baby
not
right.
That's he's holding, for Christ's sakes, man, he's holding him like he's a fucking football.
Oh,
<yeah.
laughs> To me, it looks like it's an animal's body with a baby, you know, photoshopped.
I see what you're saying. It looks like a orangutan. Gage looking like a little orangutan in that picture.
Creepy. Something wrong with Goldberg, man. I think there's something mentally wrong with him.
I think there's something wrong with him because he choked him out. That's what tripped me out about Goldberg when he said that he choked his son out on TV.
Yeah. Yeah, choked him out.
Yeah.
What's up, Chris?
So we go to the main event. Yeah. So we go to the main event. It's the steel cage match. And Big E retains. It was a good match, but Bobby Lashley's over. He's done. He's now going to be back to Bobby Trashley now with the trash business. Because even with the Hurt Business being reunited, they still didn't help him getting back the title. So now what the fuck's the point of the Hurt Business now? They didn't help him win back the title. There's no point to them now.
Yeah.
None. What a waste of a reunion.
No, and they took one of the good things, and they took it away from us, and then we, right when we got accustomed, after they buried these guys,
yeah,
and we got accustomed to them being gone,
yeah,
now they bring them back. Like, no, I'm not going to fall for that, and the audience that's in there in the arena shouldn't have to fall for it. It's not just an attraction to come see these people wrestle. We should be invested in their matches. This should
Bro,
be, you know, I don't know. I don't know why they're not
invested. It's unjustifiable the way they're fucking doing this shit. We were all
and you got Cedric
fucking loving the Hurt
Cedric
Business.
Cedric is a young up and coming star, and then geez Louise, I can't think of the other guy's name.
Naughton.
Do what?
Cedric.
There's Cedric Alexander, and then who's the other guy?
Shelton Benjamin.
Shelton Benjamin's a freaking vet. Like, this guy's like a workhorse for the company. He's come back. He's gone to Japan. He's done great things. Jeez, come on, do the guy a little better for it. Like he, you owe it to him to do a little better.
Yeah, and we were I was in love with the Hurt Business, you know, and Bobby Lashley and shit. And then all of a sudden they took the Hurt Business away from him. They had him with women. You guys remember that? Hey,
for
1 week, and then they kept on trying to do it. And, you know, even he, and then they just got all fucked up, and the whole character. And now all of a sudden they're fucking bringing it back out of nowhere, and no explanation or nothing. Get the fuck out of here.
And then
I'm
after the match,
I'm not as stupid as they fucking think I am. So fuck them.
And then after the match, who comes out but Drew McIntyre, pointing his sword at Big E, possibly challenging him for the WWE title. But this might not even happen because he might be drafted to SmackDown anyway. So what the fuck's the point of this segment then? You know? Drew might get drafted to SmackDown. Now it's time for the head of the table, yeah?
He's going to be drafted to SmackDown so that he can get fed to the head of the table.
Yeah, to lose to the head of the table because, you know, we got to talk about Extreme Rules now. The review, you know, the review show of Extreme fucking Rules. Yeah, fuck this pay-per-view. Some people said that this was a decent pay-per-view wrestling-wise. Fuck you. You know, fuck you. All right? The rundown, real quick. The pre-show was Liv Morgan versus Carmella. And
I'm just going to play Roman Reigns' theme throughout the whole thing because, you know, it's all about Roman Reigns anyway.
Yeah, go ahead.
Anyway, go ahead.
So it was Liv Morgan versus Carmella. You know, who gives a fuck match, you know? I don't really give a fuck. Liv Morgan won. Who gives a fuck? The first match of the pay-per-view.
Wait. I have something to say about that. Has Carmella even won a match since she's come back?
No.
Remember she came back to new fucking vignettes and shit?
Yeah.
And she hasn't even won one fucking match?
No,
I don't remember her winning a match.
She's just as bad as Selena Vega.
Damn.
So she's a failure, and so is Selena Vega is a failure. Selena Vega is a stupid failure because she decided to sign back to the company. So she's stupid. She's getting what she deserves, to be honest. I have no sympathy for Selena. She's a moron.
My cousin.
I know she's your cousin, but, you know, I have no sympathy for her. She brought this all upon herself. She's an idiot.
Well, you know, people make decisions, and unfortunately, that's what she did. I think she would have been better off not signing with them. Maybe she would have been picked up by AEW. Who knows? But I digress. Yeah. Let's move on.
She would have been with her husband, but oh well. Yeah. Anyway, we go to the first match, which was not in the fucking card originally. It was a made-up fucking match that just happened. It was a Raw six-man tag between the New Day and the random team of Bobby Lashley, AJ Styles, and Omos. For some fuck no reason. Bobby Lashley lost. He took the pinfall. The New Day win. Who fucking Ray? Who gives a fuck? That's shit.
Who pinned him?
Big E.
Big E hit him in the steel cage with the... that was in the steel cage match you're talking about, Christian?
No, we're talking about the pay-per-view. We're talking about the six-man tag.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, yeah. The six-man... Oh, yes. Oh, man, dude. I'm glad... Oh, yeah. Man,
no,
I got something to say about this.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, why are you going to have your fucking brand-new champion, a black champion, who could be a badass black champion, right? And you're going to put him in, instead of having him in a feud and shit, a meaningful feud and shit, we'll just throw him in with a three-man tag match.
Six-man tag match, yeah.
Yeah, six-man tag match. Let's just do that with him. And you watch, his whole fucking run is going to be full of shit like this. And it's a damn shame. It's a damn shame that they're doing this shit. And, you know, I'm not even a fucking fan of Big E. Okay? I'm not even a fan of him. But damn it, it's a shame that this is happening because they do this shit to everyone. They did it to Kofi Kingston. His championship reign was, man, it was terrible. Yeah, it had its good moments. It had its good feel-good moments here and there. But damn it, when you look at it on paper, it's fucking horrific. And then come to find out, it's coming out now that there is beef with Triple H and Vinnie Mac. And it's Sheamus. It's about Sheamus. Because he's being pushed as an Irish superstar instead of just a fucking superstar. Apparently, things are coming back on Triple H, okay? Because, you know, Triple H is buddy-buddies with Sheamus. He's buddy-buddies with Balor, too. You don't think Balor, you know, I'm pretty sure Triple H was like, man, you know, we're going to get you back in. Don't you worry, man. But you know what, man? Now that you're back, let's just go a different route. We'll take you back to NXT, and when the time comes right, we're going to take you back, and we're going to pull the trigger on you again, and we're going
to
shoot you to the fucking, you know. And then, you know, next thing you know, it didn't happen. And it's not happening. But
don't worry, we'll get to Balor Boy when we get to him because we'll get to him.
But
so,
it's
that
same thing, you know. They're fucking. These are Triple H's boys. Is the point I'm making.
Yeah.
And they just fucking get buried in shit. And it's not right because they're fucking great workers.
Yeah, some more than others.
Digress.
But So up next. We had the same match again. I don't give a fuck if this was best tag team wrestling. I'm tired of seeing these two teams fight each other. The Usos versus the Street Profits. We already knew the Street Profits wasn't going to fucking win. Surprise, surprise, they didn't fucking win. Who gives a fuck? Next, we had fucking Alexa Bliss versus Charlotte Flair. This match was fucking shit. These two had no chemistry. These two had no rhythm. Even if Alexa Bliss was her hometown, the crowd did not give a fuck about any of this. The crowd was dead. Alexa Bliss loses clean. And then afterwards, Lily dies. Charlotte Flair rips the doll off. Then Alexa Bliss gets her ass kicked some more. And then something disgusting happens. Her fucking dissolving tablet, whatever the fuck that was supposed to be, you know, that fucking shit where it's supposed to dissolve in your mouth. I don't know what the fuck happened, but it didn't dissolve right. And all it was the fucking drool came out of her fucking mouth. It was disgusting. It was irritating. I fucking hate this gimmick. I hope this gimmick was dead. I fucking hate this gimmick. This was horrible.
What they needed to do was they needed to have a bottle with a dropper, you know, and nearby where she could have got to it, and maybe they did and she wasn't able to get to it. And then, you know, she takes the fucking dropper, squirts, you know, just one time in her mouth. That would have had a good effect, but it didn't happen for some reason. And you're right, dude. It looked fucked up, man. It looked fucked up. And I don't know, man, but I'm thinking that this is the end of that character.
Thank God, hopefully, because Kevier, what are your thoughts about this disgusting display? This was disgusting.
This is the moment I turned the show off. I watched everything up until this point, and then like during this match, I was like, nope. I turned it off, and I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to know what was going to happen after this. I was like,
wow.
I was like, I'm going I might watch it tomorrow. I'll probably catch up on it. And then I never did. I never watched it. I just read about what happened. I watched a YouTube video of what Ben did, but I just turned the match off. I started Dynamite back up, and I was like, Ricky, let's watch it.
Oh, yeah, baby. I started Dynamite back up. Fuck it, because it's that much better. You know what, bro? I mean, I'm with you. I didn't watch the pay-per-view, though, in its entirety. I mean, it was a shit show. But yesterday, you know, my precious Cowboys were on. And there's just no way. There's just no way I was going to watch Raw. And I didn't. And then, you know, also, I didn't even bother to go back and look at the fucking highlights on YouTube. Didn't even fucking bother with it. How about that? I'm proud of myself. I'm fucking proud of myself.
Yeah.
I'm fucking proud of myself, man. But I digress. Christian.
Up next was the most boringest triple threat match ever between Sheamus, Damian Priest, and Jeff Hardy, in which the crowd only gave a fuck about Jeff Hardy. They didn't give a fuck about Damian Priest. They didn't give a fuck about Sheamus. This match was fucking boring. This was shit. And yeah, Damian Priest retains. Who gives a fuck? This shit was fucking boring. This was boring. Some people said it was a good triple threat. Go fuck yourself. This was slow and boring.
You know, it seems like they're pushing Damian Priest.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Damian Priest is the biggest failure they've made in years. Damian Priest is like, they're going to shove this thing down our throat and nobody's going to like it. And then he's like, I feel like he's stubbornly going to keep pushing it. And it sucks for the guy who is Damian Priest, because like this is a wrestler's nightmare to get saddled with like a gimmick that people are doomed to hate. Maybe people will like him. He has fans. Like, I know he has fans, but it's not enough. Like, it's just they took like a cool thing in NXT. He's the last shred of like maybe a thing that was cool in NXT. He was one of the last cool original NXT characters, and so was this Karrion Kross guy. They fucked them both up royally. And I talked about it last week, and I just reiterate it. Like, this guy doesn't deserve it. My boy Sheamus deserves it. Not just because of he's been there forever, but because he does better work, dude. Like, put Sheamus on TV. Sheamus is entertaining. I don't know.
Yeah. Wow,
Sheamus,
dude.
He's in the match. Yeah, but, like, Jeff Hardy, too. Fuck off, Jeff Hardy. Get the fuck out of here, dude. We do not want to see you on TV. That's how I feel. I don't give a shit about Jeff Hardy because he's shit on the fans. He shit on the fans several times. He loves wrestling. He always comes back. But it's, like, desperate. It's like, what are we doing, Jeff? What are we doing here? Are we just fueling your fucking, this is your career,
addiction.
And we have your fans so that you have money in your pocket? Like, are you going to actually give us something to be a fan of? You know what I mean?
Wow. Man, that's fucking heavy.
Yeah.
That's fucking heavy.
Heavy is finally turning to the dark side. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Up next was Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch. Whoopty fucking do. Becky sucks. I'm sorry. She sucks as a wrestler. She sucks.
Oh, wait.
She does.
Bro, hold on. I didn't get to talk about Damian Priest, and I have to talk about him. I have to.
Okay, go ahead.
I actually wrote something down. Bro,
yeah, go ahead,
I saw some pictures of him today. Man, he looks like the Mexican John Cena.
Yeah.
He cut off his fucking hair, and you give him a fucking, you know, a flat top or whatever the hell. He's fucking Mexican John Cena. Holy shit. Holy shit. And then also, I'm with
Puerto Ricans.
It seems like they're pushing him down our throats. I hadn't even thought of this, but now that Kevier mentions it, I mean, I fear that it's not going to stop. But nevertheless, it's too fucking late because, you know, I've done switch brands. This is my part-time brand now. And so,
maybe I have rose-colored glasses because I think the same could be said about Sheamus. What I just said about Damian Priest, years ago, people could have looked at Sheamus and been like, look at this guy. Look at this stupid gimmick. They're shoving this Irish stupid gimmick down our throat. And maybe Damian Priest, you know, obviously can put in the work to become like a fan favorite. That brings me back to Corbin, and I'm getting ahead of myself. But like, Corbin became a fan favorite, and he had a good gimmick, and they took the rug. They ripped the rug out from underneath him.
I know.
Whenever the broken Corbin gimmick was so good, and they replaced it with this dumb shit for cheap heat. And this is what we're gonna get from him, no matter what.
So how long before you think they do this to Damian Priest?
I don't know, a few months.
Well, I just mean they're already doing it. I just think they're different kinds of characters, but they're already doing it. Like, Damian Priest isn't going to become beloved like Sheamus is for like another 10 years. But it's going to take 10 years of them fucking shoving him down our throat. And I'm just drawing a parallel. I think Sheamus is way better than Damian Priest.
Bro, you're a big fan of Sheamus, man, because you talk about him a lot. And let me tell you something. I'm a big fan of Sheamus, too. I don't talk about him the way you do, but I mean, I'm a big fan of dude. When I first started watching Sheamus, he was like, he came in as a badass, and I fucking loved him and shit. And then when they put the title on, man, he had such a fucking horrible title run, and I fucking hated it. And I've been pissed off about it ever since. And then, you know, this thing with Triple H and Vince McMahon, I mean, it's got to cut Triple H. It's got to cut him because, you know, he's buddies with Sheamus. He's buddies with fucking Finn Balor. And you know he gave him his word. You know this shit.
Why is Randy
Orton? Dude, don't worry, man. I'm going to take care of you.
Just because Randy was like Evolution and because he's a second generation. But, like, you look at other guys from that era. Like, Sheamus is the same. And Sheamus was a Triple H guy, like you said. But Sheamus wasn't in with Evolution. He wasn't in the Clique or anything like this.
But he was still a hard worker regardless.
All the same shit that Batista, Randy Orton, all these guys have done. Sheamus has done all that. And this dude's treated like a fucking mid-carder nonstop.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I hate it. And, you know, that's why I asked Christian last week, when are we going to see Sheamus? Would we see him in AEW? Could we see him in AEW? How do you think the fans would react? He's an actual homegrown AEWE as far as here in the States go.
Yeah. He wouldn't,
you know,
do it. I think he has enough loyalty to WWE and probably knows Vince and all those guys on a personal level. And he's probably, you know, even though we're not happy for him, he might be happy with his position. That's why he's such a company man. He does everything they ask.
Wow. All right, let's move along, Christian.
So up next, we had Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch. Who gives a fuck? This match was boring, basic. Becky Lynch is basic. She sucks as a heel. And Bianca was great. She did great moves. Bianca carried the work, to be honest. And then, surprise, surprise, the horsewomen struck. Sasha Banks returns, causes the DQ, and now we're getting another triple threat between Sasha Banks
Becky Lynch and Bianca. Of course, Bianca gets screwed again. And, yep, Bianca's not winning this title back. She's not winning this title back now.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, bro. But I have to strongly, strongly disagree with you on Becky Lynch. I think that she's playing her character to a fucking T, but it's the fucking Mark fans that won't, you know, I mean, at some point, you have to respect the part that they're playing and at least fucking boo them. You know, you could be fucking putting your thumbs down when she's right there in front of you, you know, as she's walking down the ramp. You could be putting your thumbs down like that, but tell her, you know, like, I really love your work. Thank you. Nobody will ever know, but she will hear it as you're fucking pointing your thumbs down. Show these people some fucking respect is what I'm saying. And a lot of times the fans don't do that. And that, you know, I can see personally, I've always thought that, you know, I'm one of the ones that made being a heel cool as far as a fan goes. Because I've been a fucking heel in those fucking stands ever since I can remember, guys. And people used to fucking look at me. And I've even had people tell me to shut up because their kids didn't like you. So, you know, I cool it, you know, because I don't want to give nobody a bad experience and shit, you know. You got to cool that kind of shit. But, yeah, man, when I go to these shows, I display a heel character. But if you're in a position where, you know, you're right there on camera and shit, you don't want to fucking give the wrestler a fucking, you know, they're doing their hardest to be a heel. You're over here fucking cheering them. Get the fuck out of here. I mean, at least that's how I feel. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
That's what they did to Cody Rhodes. In his match, they totally fucking turned and the crowd went for Malachi instead of for Cody or whatever. But that's just a big hint that, like, you know, AEW does not want Cody as a babyface. They do not want this storyline, so abandon the ship. WWE fans are not nearly as active as what the AEW crowd has been like, and they're not as engaged in. AEW fans are maybe smarks, but they're smarter and they're more
responsive. Yeah, that's a damn good point, bro. How about
the fact we're getting a triple threat match again? Now
yeah.
It's more bullshit. No.
I just hope Sasha doesn't win that. And I mean, I wish that Becky was better. I wish that Bianca didn't have to lose in the first place. That's what sucks, too.
And I didn't like the thing of Sasha Banks coming back and interfering. You know, it's another one of those fucking disappearing acts like fucking Randy Orton, but in a different manner because it's more impactful. You're fucking interrupting world title matches and shit. All of a sudden out of nowhere and shit. There's no explanation. Where the fuck was she? They didn't announce that she was hurt.
They didn't even announce that she had COVID, but then they announced Pat McAfee had COVID, so whatever.
They didn't address anything as far as she goes.
Yeah, so it's bullshit.
So it's a mystery.
Yeah. Up next, we had the main event, the Extreme Rules match, although it wasn't that extreme at all. It was Roman Reigns versus a corpse. A corpse. Because, you know, the demon Finn Balor. This match was boring. The only cool thing about this match was when Roman Reigns took safety. Because, again, he has a weakened immune system. And he had to put a mask on to go to the crowd, over the crowd. So, good on him. Personally, good on him, you know, because he wants to keep his safety, his health. So, yeah. The demon fought back, you know, not many weapons weren't even used in this Extreme Rules match. What was used? Kendo sticks, a few tables, and a steel chair. That's it.
No, wait a minute. We got to count the mask. The mask was used.
No, the mask wasn't used.
He was fighting COVID.
Yeah, that's fine.
The mask was
that's
used
fine.
As,
him,
as a weapon against
pass.
COVID.
Yeah, I'll give him a pass
you know,
on that.
I give him a strong pass on that because, you know, it's like you said, you know, this is one of those deals, man. You do you, and I'll do me. If you feel like you need to go out with a mask on, regardless of where you're at or whatever, that's fine. I'm all for it. But don't force that shit on me. Don't force it on me.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at, but I digress.
So now we have the clusterfuck ending, the ending that killed Finn Balor's career in WWE, that killed the Demon's career, killed even Roman Reigns' heel run. This ending fucking ruined his heel run forever. Forever. You ruined both these guys at the same time. You ruined Finn Balor, and guess what? You ruined Roman Reigns, too.
Wow.
Here's what happened, right? Well, Finn Balor had a second win, right? The lights went red. He was convulsing, and then he had a second wind. He put Roman through a table with a dropkick. Then he put Roman in the middle of the fucking ring. The smoke was gearing up, you know, the fog machine. Now imagine this. Imagine if he really did jump to do his finisher. You know how fucking risky and safe risk that was? The fucking smoke was blaring his fucking view. You know he could have hurt himself, right? If he actually did jump, knowing that there was smoke in front of him. That was risky as fuck. Okay?
Wait a minute. What spot?
The spot where he was about to do the coup de grace, and then there was smoke in front of him. The fog. Of his smoke machine. It was in front of him. Imagine if he did try to jump, you know, if it was planned to try to do the finisher. You know how risky and safe hazard that is to try jumping through a fucking smoke, blurring your vision?
Yeah, you obviously don't know where you're going to land.
Well, especially with a move like the coup de grace where you just basically stomp on a guy from 10 feet in the fucking air.
Yeah.
You know how dangerous that is?
Yeah, it's definitely unsafe.
Yeah. But
definitely.
Thank God he didn't do that.
But that
thank
wasn't
God
the first
that.
Thing that was unsafe, though, as we
yeah.
know.
The next thing that happened, the fucking top turnbuckle collapsed. He fell. Obviously, it was planned. Because that's the story. It's planned.
Obviously.
So... Finn Balor, the Demon, falls, and then Roman hits the spear, 1, 2, 3, and that's it. You expect me to believe a 135-pound man broke a fucking top turnbuckle? Now, I bet you 10 to 1 they're going to use God. They're going to use God as an excuse of why Roman won. They're going to do that because towards the end of the match, Roman was looking up into the heavens saying, thank you, thank you. He was looking up to the sky saying, thank you to God. They're going to use God.
Stop it. I did.
They
yeah,
are.
Yeah. Maybe they're not even going to say anything, but I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead on that. Station ID.
Overtime,
thank
yeah.
you for joining us, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
welcome back, Christian from Philly, with the Nilly Willy on the Chili and the Willy. We're talking about the pay-per-view Extreme Rules results. Let's get with it, baby.
Ending. So, again, this is an embarrassment. This is an embarrassment. This Roman Reigns heel turn is an embarrassment. This heel run is an embarrassment. What they've done. This ending of
it's
him being over fucking protective. This is a disgrace. He's overprotective. He can't lose. He can't make anybody put over. Every person he's feud with looks terrible.
I hate them.
Every person that
them.
Comes out in his feuds
them.
Look terrible. They don't come out as a star. Look at Kevin Owens, for example. He gets beat up by fucking Baron Corbin. Cesaro's not even on fucking TV hardly. Daniel Bryan gets beaten so bad he leaves the company. Fucking Edge is taken out by Seth Rollins. Fucking everybody this guy feud with doesn't look credible. Always looks like schmucks. Right now, like, Drew McIntyre is a schmuck. Nobody looks over. This guy's ruined everybody. He's ruined everybody. And the fact he killed Finn Balor's career now with his stupid ending. This is stupid. This heel run is stupid. He's not putting over anybody. Like, you could have an overpowered wrestler, but the fact that you don't even put over the guys, you don't make them look good. You make them look stupid. He makes everybody look stupid. He doesn't even put over his own family. He didn't even put over his own cousin to make them even look like a credible threat. This ending sucked. It was the worst ending ever. This is stupid. Kevin, what's your thoughts about this shit?
I mean, I don't know. I'm just cashed out completely, like, on all of it. I mean, I don't know, specifically, like, the whole, like, the spooky, or is it the Finn thing, like, him coming back or whatever, the hokiness of that? Is that what you're asking about?
No, I'm asking about the Roman Reigns and this shit altogether.
Just the Roman Reigns, I mean, Roman ending Balor and ending everybody, like you said, like Kevin Owens and everybody, like, yeah, you're right, he's buried all these people along the way. So I see what you're saying with that. And I have been a fan of Roman since the fucking Shield, so it sucks to see, like, the character totally get washed down the drain or whatever. I don't know. I don't think there's a lot of redemption for WWE. I don't think I watch it the same. I don't think I can look at it the same way anymore. And I think that Roman's to blame. I think that a lot of these characters and the things they're done with the characters are to blame.
I think Christian from Philly's to blame.
No.
Yeah.
For exposing all this shit, but
no,
I mean, you know, it's not. We're not going to blame him in a bad way, obviously. But I mean, goddamn, it makes sense. Holy shit, give us a little bit of fucking meaning to what we're watching. Don't make us fucking.
I mean, the Finn
insult
Balor
our intelligence.
Like, that made no sense at all. And him, I mean, I get it. It made sense, but it doesn't make sense. To give him this stupid-ass gimmick and bring him back to life for nothing and everything, it's just, it was so campy. And I'm tired of them half-assing supernatural gimmicks and half-assing serious gimmicks and everything. They're just half-assing everything.
Yeah. No, wait a minute. I call it bastardizing.
Yeah,
they have
right.
bastardized everything they fucking cut lately. Everything. They've been doing that shit for the last shit. It's evident. It's like they've been doing it for the last 5 years, 6 years since we've been doing this show. They've been doing it, and even longer before that. But now it's even more. I mean, it's even more, dude. Everybody's fucking going down to Roman Reigns, and that's just the way it's gonna be. And now they're gonna shift the rosters around, as we all know. So real quick before that was the last match that we were talking about. Real quick before we go into the WWE draft is up next week, gentlemen.
No, this week.
This week. I mean, this Friday, yeah. So, I mean, who goes where? Do we know yet, Christian? What was the big star?
No, we don't.
You're saying Roman Reigns is
going
to stay put, right?
Yeah, obviously Big E's going to Raw.
All right, there's no doubt about it. He's the champion.
No doubt about it.
He's going to Raw.
Will he have the New Day with him?
I don't know. That depends.
Something tells me he will have the New Day with him, and that's how they're going to shit on his title ring.
Yeah.
By doing a bunch of shenanigans and shit.
Instead
of letting him be a fucking, you know, true champion and shit, they're going to hold him back. Why? Because his reign cannot be better, cannot exceed the what they're shooting with Roman Reigns. He cannot outshine Roman Reigns. You understand what I'm saying? And that's because that's their business model. And that fucking sucks about this company. Their business model is so fucking evident and obvious. And we're not that fucking stupid.
Draft
and they keep
draft
insulting
bullshit.
Our intelligence.
The draft doesn't matter at all. Who gives a shit where anybody goes? Who gives a shit about the draft? That's
right.
All I'm saying. Like,
it's bastardized.
I mean, like, it does not matter. It does not matter. Who's doing the draft? What's the dude's name? The bald guy.
Pat McAfee?
No, the dude. What's his name? You said it.
Is it Braxton?
The guy looks like Triple H.
Yeah, it's the Adam Pearce guy. So it's Adam Pearce, and then who's drafting for, like, what? Stephanie's going to come back and do the draft. Who's going to? It's like, it doesn't even have any weight to, there's no bigger storyline going on in the background. There's nothing going on. You know, they tried to do that with Retribution. They tried to do these bigger storylines going on in the background. The Authority storyline was the last big one I can think of. What's been the storyline in the background for the last forever? Nothing. There's nothing bigger going on. It's just Bobby Lashley's the champion and he's a jerk, or Goldberg's coming back this week, or, you know, it's stupid-ass little things like that.
Or the tribal bit bearing.
Yeah, Roman Reigns, the tribal chief bullshit. Yeah, it's boring. Look, bro, the Corbin thing, they changed him so quick, I missed it. I didn't even see Happy Corbin until, like, earlier this week. And I was like, what? This has been, like, 3 weeks worth of this shit?
Yeah.
I was so mad.
Yeah, bro. Imagine me knowing that he did his first, you know, Happy Corbin segment. You know, he's got his own little Happy Corbin show now on Raw. Imagine me missing it last night, because I was watching the Dallas Cowboys beat the shit out of the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, imagine my dismay of having to miss the excitement.
Please. I digress too, but I mean, I don't give a shit about the draft. It used to be one of the coolest things, and now I don't give a shit about who goes anywhere and what happens next. Until they hit me with some off the wall shit where I'm like, oh my God, did you hear what WWE's doing now? Like, I don't know.
Bro, this was this pay-per-view, Extreme Rules, that we just talked about, and we're about to bust out the results. This pay-per-view, Extreme Rules, was so fucked up, Christian didn't even want to do a show. He didn't even want to do a show. I don't even blame him. I don't blame him. I wasn't going to do a show. I didn't even tell him that. I didn't even get to tell him that, hey, Christian, man, I'm sorry, man. I'm not gonna do the show tonight. I didn't even get to tell him that. I called. I texted him and asked him if he was doing a show. No show. Who can fucking blame him?
Yeah.
It's
dog shit. Come over. It's Extreme Rules. It's Extreme Rules tonight. Let's watch Extreme Rules. And then before he got here, I watched the first three matches, and I was like, no, we're not watching that shit. And he didn't even see any of it. I just turned it off.
Put on Dynamite. You're getting Ricky into Dynamite, bro?
Yeah, it's better for us. There's stuff that, because he's an older fan, and it's got the WCW vibes. Like, he saw Brian Pillman Jr., and he was marking out for him. And
you're getting him into Dynamite, basically.
Yeah. Arn Anderson's old ass falling off of the apron and everything. Like, Ricky was popping for that.
Woo!
But the biggest offender about this whole fucking pay-per-view
is the fucking name. The name.
Yes. Oh, my God. That's,
Extreme Rules.
What was Extreme Rules?
One fucking match with Extreme Rules, and that wasn't even Extreme.
And it was
not even a fucking triple threat match did they use weapons. A fucking triple threat match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Jeff Hardy.
They bastardized.
For Extreme.
They bastardized Extreme Rules. Just like they bastardized everything else. This is the way it is with WWE right now. And I mean, I've switched. I am now AEW.
It was better during COVID. Y'all have said it's like go back to the Thunderdome, but like it was better during COVID. Now that the crowd's back, you're not going to give the people what they fucking want?
The crowd doesn't make the difference. The crowd is dead anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, you see why. I mean, there's nothing to pop for. Look at how much they pop at AEW crowd. It's because they're invested in the characters. They're really excited to see those characters. WWE fans, when they sit at a WWE show, they probably feel just like they do when they're sitting on their couch at home watching it. And they're like, oh, here's this asshole doing this dumb shit again.
Bro,
you know many
like
times
watching AEW, pardon me, Christian, watching AEW, you know that I knew that Hobbs was going to go down. What's his first name?
Killer Hobbs. Will Hobbs.
I knew he was going to go down to CM Punk, right? But what I didn't know was that I was going to get a hell of a fucking match. And, man, I have no regrets watching that whole entire match. I was invested in it from the beginning to the end. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I mean, that's been the whole thing with AEW. And then he went through the other guy, you know, CM Punk. So, like, we've got a story going here. And we've got these fucking stories going on. And in WWE, we've got no stories. Nothing. They just fucking rehash shit and fucking serve it up fucking cold, no less.
Yeah.
And, you know, that they, you know, fuck them. Fuck WWE right now. And I feel
good
saying that. I feel good
saying
that, but it is what it is. Yes, sir. Get to the winners.
You know how many times they piped in the crowd chant of, let's go Becky, Bianca Belair, let's go Bianca, fucking 10 times. Horrible. But I digress. Let's go to the results of the predictions.
Uh-oh.
All right. So for the first match, we all picked Roman Reigns, so we all get a point. Right.
Yeah. Right on.
For the SmackDown Women's match, we all technically get a point because we said Becky was going to retain. We didn't say she was going to win. She was going to retain. So technically she did retain after a DQ, so we all get a point. I don't
right.
care.
Right.
All right, so me and Albert only get the point next between Charlotte. Kevin and Minister pick Bliss, so they don't get a point.
No.
Me, Kevin, and Chuck get a point. We all pick Damian Priest. Albert does not. Oh wait, Albert does get a point. I'm sorry. We all get a point. Sorry. Me, Kev, and Minister get a point. We all get a point. We pick the Usos. Albert does not get a point. He picks Street Profits.
What?
And
welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Albert picked the Street Profits. I don't know why.
Because you kept picking for everybody. You kept picking for everybody, so he was like, no.
He should have listened.
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
And everybody got a point for Liv Morgan winning. So let me go with Ricky's, all right, because Ricky was also part of this, right? Ricky does not get a point.
He was
Ricky
integral.
Does not get a point. Yeah, so Ricky doesn't get a point. He picked Finn Balor. Ricky gets a point for Becky Lynch. Ricky gets a point for Charlotte. Ricky gets a point for Damian Priest. But Ricky does not get a point for Street Profits and Carmella.
Mm.
So
what about Liv Morgan? I love her music.
So he does not get a point. So let me tell you the scores right now.
It sounds like Ministers is fucking dead last again. This is a fucking conspiracy, I'm telling you right now. If I'm in dead last, it's a conspiracy.
One, two, three. Okay. One, two, three, four, five. One, two.
Stop it.
Well, I'm just gonna go with it. Let's see. With tie to okay, so everybody got 5 points. I'm just gonna silver coat it. I won again, 3 straight pay per views in a row. I got all 6 right. That's right. That's pitiful right now. Pitiful right now. Stop booing for a minute. That's 3 straight pay per views in a row that I guessed every prediction right.
You're the king, dude.
He is the king. He's a fucking swami.
I guess every prediction right.
So
and
I was thinking that we're... Congratulations, first off. Congratulations. But I was also thinking we should do an experiment where we stop watching WWE altogether as a group. We just don't watch it anymore. And we only report on AEW and like maybe indie wrestling for a month or two. And then we do the predictions, but we don't know anything about the matches. Let's do blind predictions where we don't know anything about.
We're blind. We just get the card. Yeah, we just get the card and we go blind. I love it. It's like playing spades. You know, you're gonna go blind. You're going a blind nine.
That's pathetic that it's so predictable. It's so pathetic that I predicted every fucking match on that pay-per-view.
I'm going blind 9. I got 6 spades. They're low. But I got 6 spades. And then I got, you know, 2 aces of hearts. Or 2 aces. On top of that.
I'm not going to watch. I mean, I want y'all to know, like, I know we do a wrestling show and I'll be up on
blind
the news,
9.
But, like, I'm probably not. Probably not going to watch as much WWE anymore. I'm just going to avoid watching it because it pisses me off. I'm going to read about it.
Bro.
I'll watch highlights on YouTube again. I'm going back to that. I'm not because I've been trying to watch shows and pay-per-views and stuff. I'm not doing this shit anymore.
Bro, I'm telling you, I'm talking to the fabulous Kitty Teixeira just the other night. And what if we get rid of the cock? Why don't we get rid of the cock and bring in, you know, another, because there's other packages for the same price as the cock. You get 3 or 4 networks and shit, you know? And it's like, fuck, what if we bring in Netflix instead of the cock? I don't need this shit.
Speaking of Peacock, that also reminds me, Peacock turned heel that night. Because they were playing commercials during the pay-per-view. Even entrances.
During entrances.
Right. And the audio was fucked up during the beginning of the show where they were playing the Spanish announce team and the English announce team at the same time.
Yes.
It was the audio.
Oh, man, that was fucking amateur hour.
It's a piece of shit.
That wasn't necessarily Peacock. That was WWE with all their fucking budget cuts that they're doing lately. That's WWE with all their fucking budget cuts that they're doing lately. They fucking came back and bit them in the ass. They looked fucking shameful that night. It was fucking shameful.
Kevin Dunn is supposedly the guy sitting there pushing the buttons. So, I mean, there's just one guy.
No, but no, wait. No, it's not just him, bro. It is not, you know, you've done work.
It's a team.
It is not just one
guy.
Yeah, it is a fucking team, bro. And fucking, they're getting second-rate people to do top jobs. Is what they're doing. They're getting guys like me to run the trailer, bro.
Yeah.
You don't know the really.
Nah, I know what you mean, man.
They're getting guys like me to run the fucking thing.
How about the fact that the cock was playing fucking commercials during the fucking pay-per-view?
Yeah.
What the fuck was that?
I mean, disgraceful, bro. Disgraceful.
Well, you know what? That's where I am for deciding to do this shit.
Here I am, a longtime member of the COC since the beginning. I'm a founding member of the COC. A founding fucking member of the COC. And I got to sit through commercials? Really? I mean, come
during
on.
During fucking entrance. They cut Alexa Bliss's entrance. They
yeah.
buried her. And then,
was it her hometown?
And then they didn't... They did a Roman's entrance.
Her hometown, bro.
Yes.
Her hometown. And she gives commercial. Let's get out of here. Kevier.
Yeah, let's get.
Close yourself up, my friend.
I think y'all know how I feel. I don't think that anyone was expecting this heel turn tonight, But hey, in other news, speaking of heel turns, Kanye West put out that album. Remember how long I was waiting for the Kanye West album?
Oh, yeah.
Now he's gone back, and this might be not a heel turn. This is a baby face turn, face turn for Kanye West. He's gone back and deleted Chris Brown from his album. He's taking Chris Brown off of his album.
Wow.
And he's a... So after the album came out...
So all the new remasters and shit will be Chris Brownless?
Yeah, and he changed the song on it, and he may change more songs. But today, all the streaming services uploaded new versions of Kanye songs. Wow, what a world! What a time to be alive. WWE makes sense, but Kanye West is hot fire.
He revealed that he was the one that cheated on his wife.
On him?
Do you have in one of those raps? Yeah, in one of those raps in the new album, he revealed...
I like his music a lot, and I try to stay out of the TMZ side of his life, but it's more about the music for me, you know? I'm just a mark for that shit. But, I don't know. Kanye West still out there doing the thing. The WWE, same can't be said about you, you fuckers. You need to get your shit together. I don't know.
Right on.
In two, 3 years, this shit will be better. Until then, I'm not watching... but I'll watch AEW, and I'll keep up with local wrestling, who's going to be back in Houston on November 20th for the good, the bad, and the fake, the next event they got coming up.
We need to go to that, bro. We need to go together. It's been a while since we've been to one. Yeah, let's get together on them tickets so we can be there. But, man, thank you so much, Kevier West, for being a part of this madness week after week. And also, check us out, guys, on Facebook, on, what is it, Pro Wrestling Planet. Tell them about it, Kevier.
Our thoughts are also with Albert and his family during this time. And like Chuck said at the beginning, everybody be safe with the COVID protocols. You got to do what you got to do. Secondly, Pro Wrestling Planet. Albert's t-shirts are up online. He's got a lot of awesome designs for Pro Wrestling Planet. You can go to his Instagram page. I believe it's The Pro Wrestling Planet on Instagram, and then on Facebook it's super easy to find. And then check out the shirt designs. And I'm sure when he comes back, he'll be running a caller special.
Tell us about the Haulers real quick, brother.
The Haulers have been playing shows. We're a country band, like Southern Rock Country from Southeast Texas, and we're playing more shows in a town near you. We've got some gigs coming up in the Baytown area. So a lot of the stuff is kind of like private party stuff, but you'll see us hopefully at more bars and thrill-type settings and concert venues that. We played in the Tascita. We've been playing we played a hometown show in Anahuac that was a great turnout. And,
And we'll have recordings soon, too, and I'm sure you'll hear some of our songs on the show once we have those.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kanye West. Christian, close yourself out, my friend.
Thank you for listening in to Fatal 4 Radio, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. I am Christian from Philly. Tune in next week. We talk more about fucking dirty garbage. Until then, good night,
brother. Ladies and gentlemen, Christian from Philly, the Swami. Well, hey, guys, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And once again, we will reconvene, if you will, next week right here on Fatal 4 Way Radio on the Generation Podcast Network. Check out our sponsors. And until then, we'll see you next time. Well, wait a minute. I am Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinners, reminding you to keep it real, keep it heal. And until next time, we'll see you. Keep it sexy. Peace out, motherfuckers.
Presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.